You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast hosted by Matt Franks and Zach Bechtold. We hope you enjoy this week's show, and you can find out more about us by going online at beardedtheologians.com, where you can pick up a few t-shirts, listen to a few old episodes, and find ways that you can connect with us. Thank you for listening. You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
This week on the podcast, we're going to talk about Zach's dapperness and how he is probably the most overdressed than he's ever been on a Friday. Not really. Today, we're actually going to dive into Luke chapter 24, verses 13 until when Zach stops. The walk to Emmaus story. So, Zach, do your thing.
Yeah. I don't know how far I'm gonna read, but yeah, it's Luke 24 starting in verse 13, and I don't know, when I run out of breath, well, I'll stop. A little bit of context. This is right after Easter day, or right after Easter, the tomb is empty. Everybody goes and runs to see that it's empty, and Peter and the disciples kind of go back dejected after Mary, and everybody tells them that it's empty. Yeah, I don't know, the whole thing. That's the story. That's the stage. So on the same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And while they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" And they stopped, their faces downcast. And the one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the woman said, and they didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for Christ to suffer these things and then enter into glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in this all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going ahead, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took a seat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. I'm going to stop there. Matt, as you hear this classic story, the walk to Emmaus, there's a lot there. What sticks out to you?
So I'm going to be very Methodist-y here and actually even jump ahead a little bit more, because like there's more to this that they talk
there's
about.
There's a lot more to this story, actually.
So May the 24th in the United Methodist Church is known as Aldersgate Day. And we actually do talk about this in a podcast. I remember talking about Aldersgate Day on a podcast, but Aldersgate in the United Methodist Church is celebrated as the day that Wesley's heart was strangely warmed and that he really found his assurance of salvation, and like he got it in essence. And every time I hear the Emmaus story, I always think of the Aldersgate experience. And I say that because when we jump ahead, like when they're like processing what they went through after Jesus left, they're like, "Was your heart not strangely warmed? Like, were you not? Did you not have all the good, warm, fuzzy feelings?"
Right.
I think too, like, how often is it that we share, like, maybe we have had that Aldersgate experience where we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but also when have we had those experiences where we've been maybe on a road or on a journey and we've had felt like Jesus walking with us? And I'll even go even more Methodisty here, like that prevenient grace, like how often was it after the fact that we recognized that we were in the moment when we were in the moment? And I don't know, when I hear this story, I always think of that connection that's there. And what are we gonna do? Like, what asking ourselves, like, what are we gonna do about it? But then, like, they do such a great job of telling, you know, this person, I mean, it was Jesus, what really happened. And then Jesus is like, come on, guys, like, really? Like, do you not understand what, I told you this. I mean, I don't know. I this is one of those good stories. What about you, Zach?
It is a good story. And you know, we give these two disciples a really hard time sometimes, a lot like Thomas and his doubt. How, you know, ask the question, how could they not know it was him? And Luke's pretty clear at the beginning that they were prevented from seeing him. But if you think back, a lot like Thomas, if you think back to the last time that they saw Jesus, probably didn't look a whole lot like Jesus. And they're coming out of seeing the tomb be empty. There's a whole lot more questions than there are answers. And I mean, they're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is like 7 miles. Because what else do you do? You either stay in the upper room or you just go somewhere. And to me, it seems like they're trying to create some space to figure it out and see what is next for them. And then Jesus shows up, and my favorite interaction in this whole thing, outside of the breaking of the bread, is, you know, Jesus is like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, how have you not heard? Are you the only one living under a rock? Have you not heard? You know, it was a big deal, everything that happened with Jesus there in Jerusalem. And really, outside, well, you have Mary and the ladies going from the empty tomb back to the upper room to tell the other disciples the good news that Jesus is risen, right? This is the very next moment, at least in Luke's gospel, in which the good news is once again shared, and they share it right to Jesus, which I think is fascinating. That it's an opportunity to share what it is that happened to Jesus, and they share it to Jesus. I don't know. I think that's a funny little story, but also a, like you said, here's where prevenient grace is. Here's where God's working when we don't even realize it, and before we know it. And are we willing to have that conversation? Are we willing to tell the story? Are we willing to share love and grace, even when we think people should already know about it, right? They thought Jesus should already know what happened. How could you not know?
So here's the other thing that we didn't address is that they don't make it to Emmaus. They
Well,
actually
they make it, but they
no,
don't stay.
like they literally like they turned around.
They did. They
They got
eat
up and
dinner with
returned
Jesus and
and
then
they
get up
had
and they
their dinner.
leave.
They're like, holy crap, like we gotta go tell the guys.
Right.
Like and how this would have played out today would have been like we would
Yeah,
have texted
texting.
like all right, like he's
He's
gone.
here. He's here.
He's gone. Like, all right, you gotta text us out. Like, so obviously they couldn't do that. So like they like, and part of me wonders like, how fast did they go? Did they run really fast? Did they catch a camel Uber or whatever? Like how quickly did they get back to Jerusalem to
I
share?
definitely think they run the 7 miles, right? Just a, you
Yeah.
know, a touch over 11K. They're running that. I think they got it. No, and that's my second favorite part of this story is they don't realize it's Jesus until they sit down to eat dinner, and Jesus blesses and breaks the bread and gives it to them, and they go, oh, we've done this before. You know, their eyes are open, they see it, their hearts are strangely warmed, all along the way. I think you're right. I think Wesley's Aldersgate experience is right on par with this. And how do we make room for that? And how do we make room to acknowledge when our hearts were strangely warmed? In just, I don't know, we talked about the Holy Spirit last week and the movement of the Holy Spirit and how that works. And we've been trying to answer that question of where do we see it in our lives? And sometimes it takes just sitting down and going, oh, that's where it was.
Well, maybe it's even just like making room for Jesus. I mean, I
Yeah.
know that like sometimes there are certain like funny dances spaces on movies saying leave room for Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, are we the, I think the real question is, are we leaving room for Jesus in our lives? And landing on that. So, Zach, you brought up our question. And so where have you seen the Holy Spirit at work in your life?
This week in particular, so over the last couple of weeks, well, a few weeks ago, we had Matt Miosky on, pastor in St. Louis, that wrote the Methodist Book of Daily Prayer. And I bought, I don't know, I just bought a box of them to give out to folks in my church to see, just for people to have them and see if they liked them and see if there was anything I could do with it, as a small group or, anything like that leading into the fall. And my weekly pastor Bible study has really latched onto it and love it. The 20 books I bought a week ago didn't make it 4 days in the church. I got them on Tuesday and they were gone by Thursday. And I have 25 more coming, and I'm pretty sure they're all spoken for. And it's all word of mouth. It was just a simple invitation to me. Here's a free book I'd love for you to have. And then the people who have it already are going around saying, I want others to have this. And we want to make sure that happens, and are sharing what they're learning from it and how it's affected them and made their daily devotion, prayer life, study life, spiritual practice life, better and vibrant and it in a lot of different ways. It's been really, really cool to see just what a small, hey, I have this. If you want it, you can have it, moment really pick up steam and see the Holy Spirit work through all of that and begin to speak to people in ways that none of us expected, right? I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've been sharing that with me most of the week about that. I thought that's just really cool. I think for me, we've started the Three Simple Rules conversation. Last week we started with Do No Harm, and this week will be Do Good. And what's amazing is the reminder, like to remind like, how often we don't remind churches that we of what they do. And thinking about the good that we do, like this week alone, we packaged like 48 backpacks that will go for those that will be leaving prison if they want them. They have some good startup items for them as they make a new life as they come out of the county jail. And then like literally all the stuff was that was collected last week. And then we handed people bags for our Help and Hope Mother's Day offering that we do every year. And so like seeing all that stuff come in this week is amazing. Like the amount of diapers that we asked for. And it's not just diapers, like it's the big size diapers, which people don't think about picking up, but that was one thing that we had requested. And seeing all that stuff come in, it's just a reminder of the good that the church does without ever having to really like it's not something feeling like we're pulling along. We're doing it because we genuinely love people and care for people, and we're showing that. I think that that's definitely been something that's just been cool to see these last few days. And then we had some other things arise yesterday, in watching how people cared for a couple of people that went down, literally went down, and just the good that we've shared these last couple of days. Definitely will remind them on Sunday, but something to, just it definitely makes you feel good when you know about it. So.
Absolutely. No, and I love that. The do good piece of the three simple rules is pretty big for me, as well as the others, but that's certainly one I lean on a good bit.
So, we want to encourage those that are listening to go on our website at beardedtheologians.com and check out all of our great content. We've got a lot of great content. I encourage you to go listen to that episode with Matt. As he talks about his book, pick up a copy of his book so that way, we can support our author so we can continue to keep having him on. And then, wouldn't hurt. Mother's Day is, I know Mother's Day is Sunday, but you can still order things and they can come later because you have Mother's Day, Grandparents' Day, and Father's Day. Great things to get for Bearded Theologians. You may be receiving a new pastor as well as we're entering into that season. Nothing says we love you more than here's a Bearded Theologians mug. even if they don't like us. But we would love for you to connect with us, and you can do that through all of our social media channels. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.